First Presidency Message, Pornography, the Deadly Carrier, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency. I remember reading about woodcutters laying their massive axes and power saws to the stately and once mighty elm trees that grace the countryside surrounding England's Heathrow Airport. It was said some of the majestic monarchs were over 100 years old. One wondered how many persons had admired their beauty, how many picnics had been enjoyed in their welcome shade, how many generations of songbirds had filled the air with music while capering among the outstretched and luxuriant branches. Yet the patriarchal elms were dead. Their demise was not the result of old age, recurring drought, or the strong winds which occasionally lashed the area. Their destroyer was much more harmless in appearance, yet deadly in result. We know the culprit as the bark beetle, carrier of the fatal Dutch elm disease. This malady has destroyed vast elm forests throughout Europe and America. Its march of death continues. Many efforts at control have failed. Dutch elm disease usually begins with a wilting of the younger leaves in the upper part of the tree. Later, the lower branches become infected. In about midsummer, most of the leaves turn yellow, curl, and drop off. Life ebbs. Death approaches. A forest is consumed. The bark beetle has taken its terrible toll. How like the elm is man! From a minute seed, and in accordance with a divine plan, we grow, are nurtured, and mature. The bright sunlight of heaven, the rich blessings of earth are ours. In our private forest of family and friends, life is richly rewarding and abundantly beautiful. Then, suddenly, there appears before us, in this generation, a sinister and diabolical enemy, pornography. Like the bark beetle, it too is the carrier of a deadly disease. I shall name it pernicious permissiveness. At first, we scarcely realize we have been infected. We laugh and make light-hearted comment concerning the off-color story or the clever cartoon. With evangelical zeal, we protect the so-called right of those who would contaminate with smut and destroy all that is precious and sacred. The beetle of pornography is doing his deadly task, undercutting our will, destroying our immunity, and stifling that upward reach within each of us. Can this actually be true? Surely this matter of pernicious permissiveness is not so serious. What are the facts? Let's look. Let's listen. Then let's act. Pornography and crime. Pornography, the carrier, is big business. It is evil. It is contagious. It is addicting. It is estimated that in recent years, Americans alone spent $8 to $10 billion per year on hardcore pornography, a fortune siphoned away with noble use and diverted to a devilish purpose. Apathy toward pornography stems mostly from a widespread public attitude that it is a victimless crime and that police resources are better used in other areas. Many state and local ordinances are ineffective, sentences are light, and the huge financial rewards far outweigh the risks. One study points out that pornography may have a direct relationship to sex crimes. In the study, 87% of convicted molesters of girls and 77% of the convicted molesters of boys admit to the use of pornography, most often in commission of their crimes. Some publishers and printers prostitute their presses by printing millions of pieces of pornography each day. No expense is spared. The finest of paper, the spectrum of full color, combine to produce a product certain to be read. Then read again. Nor are the movie or website producer, the television programmer, or the entertainer free from taint. Gone are the restraints of yesteryear. So-called realism is the quest. One leading box office star lamented, "The boundaries of permissiveness have been extended to the limit. The last film I did was filthy. I thought it was filthy when I read the script, and I still think it's filthy. But the studio tried it out, had a Friday night sneak preview, and the audience screamed its approval." Another star declared, "Movie makers, like publishers, are in the business to make money, and they make money by giving the public what it wants." Some persons struggle to differentiate between what they term softcore and hardcore pornography. Actually, one leads to another. How applicable is Alexander Pope's classic essay on man? The bark beetle, carrier of the fatal Dutch elm disease, has destroyed vast elm forests. Like the bark beetle, pornography, too, is the carrier of a deadly disease. Vice is a monster of so frightful mien, as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet, seen too oft, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. The constant consuming march of the pornography beetle blights neighborhoods, just as it contaminates human lives. It has just about destroyed some areas. It moves relentlessly closer to your city, your neighborhood, and your family. Pornography is now more available than ever. At a click of a button, evil can be viewed in our homes on television and computer screens, in our hotels and movie theaters, or even in our places of employment where access to the Internet is often provided. Warning. An ominous warning was voiced by Lawrence M. Gould, former president of Carleton College. I do not believe the greatest threat to our future is from bombs or guided missiles. I don't think our civilization will die that way. I think it will die when we no longer care. Arnold Toynbee has pointed out that 19 of 21 civilizations have died from within and not by conquest from without. There were no bands playing and flags waving when these civilizations decayed. It happened slowly in the quiet and dark night when no one was aware. I remember reading a review of a new movie. The leading actress told the reporter that she objected initially to the script and the part she was to play. The role portrayed her as the sexual companion of a 14-year-old boy. She commented, "At first I said, no way will I agree to such a scene. Then I was given the assurance that the boy's mother would be present during all intimate scenes, so I agreed. I ask, would a mother stand by watching were her son embraced by a cobra? Would she subject him to the taste of arsenic or strychnine? Mothers, would you? Fathers, would we? From the past of long ago, we hear the echo so relevant today. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kill the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather at her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Today we have a rebirth of ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. From seldom read pages in dusty Bibles, they come forth as real cities in a real world, depicting a real malady, pernicious permissiveness. Our battle plan. We have the capacity and the responsibility to stand as a bulwark between all we hold dear and the fatal contamination of the pornography beetle. May I suggest three specific steps in our battle plan? First, a return to righteousness. An understanding of who we are and what God expects of us to become will prompt us to pray as individuals and as families. Such a return reveals the constant truth, wickedness never was happiness. Let not the evil one dissuade. We can yet be guided by that still small voice, unerring in its direction and all-powerful in its influence. Second, a quest for the good life. I speak not of the fun life, the sophisticated life, the popular life. Rather, I urge each to seek eternal life, life everlasting, with mother, father, brothers, sister, husband, wife, sons, and daughters, forever and ever together. Third, a pledge to wage and win the war against pernicious permissiveness. As we encounter that evil carrier, the pornography beetle, let our battle standard and that of our communities be taken from that famous ensign of early America, "Don't tread on me." Let us join in the fervent declaration of Joshua, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let our hearts be pure, let our lives be clean, let our voices be heard, let our actions be felt. Then the beetle of pornography will be halted in its deadly course. Pernicious permissiveness will have met its match, and we, with Joshua, with safety, cross over Jordan into the promised land, even to eternal life in the celestial kingdom of our God. Ideas for home teachers. Some points of emphasis. You may wish to make these points in your discussions. 1. Pornography is a sinister enemy. 2. We have the capacity and responsibility to stand against the fatal contamination of pornography. 3. Our battle plan includes A. An understanding of who we are and what God expects us to become. B. Seeking for eternal life, life everlasting with family members forever and forever together. C. A purity of heart. Let our lives be clean. Let our voices be heard. Let our actions be felt. Discussion helps. 1. Relate your feelings about the evil influence of pornography. 2. Are there some scriptures or quotations in this article that the family might well read aloud and discuss? 3. Would this discussion be better after a pre-visit chat with the head of the house? Is there a message from the bishop or quorum leader? We have the capacity and the responsibility to stand as a bulwark between all we hold dear and the fatal contamination of the pornography beetle. Gospel topics: pornography, evil, morality, purity. End of the article, Pornography, the Deadly Carrier, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency.